All right, how are we doing for time here? Let's see. Okay, we got 60 seconds. Yeah, we lost time again with the technical difficulties, but let's see. Gosh, so many things I want to ask, but then I also want to throw things open to the audience. Hayden, people looking at CSS and saying, oh, I don't like this, I wish it were more like JavaScript. So that's exactly the wrong way around, right? Because they're looking at something declarative and saying, oh, I wish this were more like scripting. When really, what we should be looking at is like, okay, I can't do something today, so I'll do something with scripting. Hopefully in the future it will end up being declarative. Almost like your post-CSS stuff you're looking at there, right?
Yeah, and I think post-CSS is a really handy tool for prototyping what might become a standard later. And I'm not very familiar with it, but it's becoming clear to me that it's the way to go. To be able to make a case and say, look how this would look and what it does. And yeah, I think that's really powerful. And it's a bit like web components.
Well, I was just going to say, right? Yeah. The idea, right, is that the thing with web components, instead of saying, okay, I really want a fun times button or a fun times element, now I'll go lobby the standards makers, I'll make it work with web components, which is scripting.
Yeah.
But if everyone adopts it, then the idea is it's going to someday land in a standard?
Yeah, I think that's the idea. I think whatever version of I know it's a living standard now, but whatever we call HTML6, for want of a better word, I think a lot of it will be about standardizing the components that developers have built. That seems to be the way that what WG and W3C are going, is looking what people are doing and going, well, that's obviously a common pattern. Let's standardize it, provide access to the lower level APIs of the browsers, make it even better. So hopefully HTML6 will be like that.
I know that's a theory. I've talked to Alex Russell about that, and he says that's exactly what the plan is. But I could also foresee the situation where some, you know, people, us collectively, we create a custom element. It's popular. We like it. We go to the standards bodies. We say, we think this should be standardized. And they say, it doesn't need to be standardized. You've already got a web component.
Yeah.
And if, you know, the web components existed when we were trying to get responsive images and we made a picture element web component, would it have ever landed in a spec? Because they just would have said, well, you don't need a standardized element. It's working, right?
It sort of did happen that way. And we couldn't do what we do with responsive images with a custom element. We couldn't have done it with the web component because, and this is something that I've written about and others have talked about with the pre-parser and speculative downloading. So the browser starts downloading assets much, much before CSS and JavaScript are available to it. And so it doesn't know the size of the image in the page. And any of these attempts that we have to create components or JavaScript or CSS or any of the other ways that we try to solve these problems before having something that was native in the browser would, that's a weird sound. It would create duplicate downloads,
yeah,
or delayed downloads. So in that particular case, no. As a generalized case, possibly.
But okay, guess what I'm getting at here? Isn't the general situation, because you described the situation with, say, the picture element, came up with something, proposed it to standards body, and the general reaction is to be, oh, that's hard. And now with is on custom elements, it's the reaction from standards, or the browser maker, sorry, has been, oh, that's hard. They keep asking us what we want, but then when we say we really want this, they say, oh, that's hard.
Yeah, and not always.
That's how they talk.
So, mostly in that voice, but not always for bad reasons. Sometimes it really is a really hard problem to solve. But I think even the suggesting these, like they have been also very, very good at taking things that developers have done and adopting it into the standards. Query selector in JavaScript is a perfect example. That came more or less directly from jQuery. There's a pattern from jQuery, the string selector, you put the selector inside. Everybody uses it, total standard. So they've gone, everyone uses it, let's standardize that. So I'm not saying it's going to be easy, that everything we make and love will get in, but I think a lot of it will be defined by what we're doing.
That's a good point, well made.
Thanks.
Web components.
I'll take it.
Web components.
Shall I just leave now before anything else?
You're happens? On a high. Leave on your high. Web components seem to come across almost like something like the Apple Watch. Like, it was inevitable that Apple were going to create a watch. Nobody seemed to be crying out for a watch, but we knew it was coming, and so we went out and bought the watch. Okay, you got a watch. And web components, like the official story is, well, everyone wants web components, and so it's inevitable. This is the future. This is how we're going to work. I'm not sure I actually get that impression from the, you know, the people with the boots on the ground. It seems to be a subset of people are very excited about web,
yeah,
components.
But there is a drift towards componentizing or modularization in general, as we've seen in a few talks. And the idea of pattern libraries and atomic design, all of that is using components. So this is a way of solving some of the harder problems that components bring and offering it up to you to use. But it doesn't say you always have to use them. You can. There's other ways to do these things. It's just offering lower level access and a more standardized approach of doing it.
And I guess this desire for modularity that developers have is kind of what drives the CSS methodologies that keep the selectors very short and very, you know, clear. Do you get the feeling, though, that developers are fighting against CSS instead of embracing its strengths? Like
I think so, yeah. I mean, for instance, that problem with the prime numbers that I was talking about, you could approach the prime number problem at one point, and then for certain common multiples of primes, you could then override, and that's using the cascade to your advantage. And I think that's a really powerful thing. I think there's a lot to be said for making things into individual components, and I like working that way. I like working with style guides and saying this is how this thing will look in any context or whatever. But I really think it's important to think about what Ala was talking about earlier as well, which is making sure that we take care of how those things connect together. And there's a lot of CSS which I think needs to be thought about in terms of, if I take one component, whatever it is, and put another one next to it, how do their proximity affect each other in terms of margins or in terms of spacing or what have you. So, yeah, I think we need to think about the sort of the glue part of it as well.
So it seems like there's this desire for modularity, and that is what web components are tackling, to encapsulate it, and also that they don't leak, right?
Yeah.
That the styles don't leak out. And in theory, with responsive images, we have everything encapsulated inside, let's say, picture element with source set and all that. But in practice, there is still this dependency on the viewport rather than the containing element. So for all of these things, modular CSS, web components, responsive images, are element queries a fundamental need here? Mm-hmm. Are element queries the new responsive images?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the responsive images community group is working on element queries. And
correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the browser maker's response to the desire for element queries was, that's hard.
I don't know that that's actually the case. Like, I mean, one of the things that's been interesting about participating in the discussions in the responsive images community group is, yes, there are people who are resistant. I mean, there were people who, when we first started talking about responsive images, said that it wasn't actually an issue. And so the first barrier was actually just convincing people that, yes, in fact, like, responsive design is the way that we're building things, and we need to solve for images on
Hixi.
This. Yes, exactly. Which is now why we have multiple editors, was because of the responsive images and the gentleman's insistence that he would not edit that portion of the specification. But when it came to element queries, I mean, Tab was talking about the challenges. Tab Atkins was talking about the challenges with it. He wrote about it, and then wrote about it a year later, sort of like other things that had come up. And then at the Responsive Images Community Group meeting in March at Microsoft's campus, he basically went to the whiteboard and said, okay, I think I've finally figured out a way around this. And so the solution that everybody seems to be solidifying around is coming from somebody who works on a browser. And, I mean, like, one of the big problems that he was talking about that is legitimately in element queries is a problem of recursion. And so, I mean, and since we're spending a bit of today talking about naming things and sort of the power that names give, it's unlikely that we'll actually ship something called element queries. Because, in fact, what it'll be is it'll be container queries to avoid that recursion issue.
And is that the plan for web components, that you've got your self-contained widget, that the CSS associated with the widget only cares about, you know, how wide its container is, how wide the widget is, and actually has no knowledge of how wide the viewport is?
That's certainly an option. You can choose how open or closed a web component can be. And I think for version 2, there's a version 1, which is what the stuff I've talked about, which is where they just want to ship what they have now. And then there's a longer-term plan for version 2, which does include looking at things like element queries.
I think for the moment, from a web components perspective, web components are I mean, they basically just have media queries, and the media query is looking at the viewport size, and so it's not based on the size of the container.
Yeah.
But web components are actually one of the main driving forces, like one of the reasons why you've got, I think, a common interest in container queries is because you've got browser makers really interested in web components and realizing that for web components to work inside a responsive design, the container needs to be responsive itself based on the size that the author gives that particular component, and realizing that they need it, and then web designers who are working on responsive designs realizing that their lives would be much better with element queries or container queries, and so there's actually a confluence of interests.
Meeting of the ways. All right, there's so much more we could talk about, but we are running behind time, and we need to break for lunch. Please give it up for Hayden and Jason and Peter.